Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 21 to 33. We are continuing after the verses we studied last week. And you may remember last week the Lord sent out his disciples to preach the gospel of the kingdom, as he indeed sends us out. And Jesus now continues to speak about what will happen to us as we go out. Verse 21. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and there is nothing hidden that will not be made known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Of our text. The other day I was speaking to one of our members, and I'm not going to mention his name because he was very concerned that I would use him as an example in the sermon. So I'm not going to tell you who he is. And actually, I'm talking about myself, not so much about him. But anyway, I was speaking to him, and I mentioned, you know, wouldn't it be fun to canoe down the river? Maybe all the way to Appleton. You know, my brother lives in Appleton. Maybe take the Fox River over, or maybe go start up near Wisconsin Rapids, come down the Wisconsin River, portage over, go up to Appleton. Wouldn't that be kind of a fun, I don't know, week, 2 weeks? Not sure how long it would take. Didn't look into it. But notice I said, and I pointed this out to him yesterday too, and he said something, but I said, yeah, I said, down the river, didn't I? I said it would be fun to go down the river to Appleton. Coming back the other way, not so much. There's a reason for that, isn't there? It's easy and it's fun. Well, at least I think it's fun to canoe down the river. Some people might think canoeing isn't that much fun at all. But I think it's easy and fun to canoe down the river, but going back up, not so easy. In fact, we have an English idiom for it, don't we? Going with the flow. We're just talking exactly about that situation. How much easier it is to go down the river than to turn around and go back up. It's nearly impossible to swim against the current, especially if you've ever been in the middle of the Mississippi. Even on the shore of the Mississippi, I was swimming there once. It's difficult to swim against that current. You swim and you swim and you swim, and if you take a break even for a second, you lose ground, if you were even making any before then. It's hard and seemingly impossible. And why would you even want to do it? If you're canoeing, you just, you know, call someone to come pick you up. So much easier. But the reason depends on what your goal is, and why you're doing it. I wouldn't suggest ever trying to swim against the Mississippi current, but the Lord does suggest going against the flow in our text today. It's exactly what he's talking about. In another place in Scripture, he says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Imagine a sheep wandering into the middle of a pack of wolves. How much chance does that sheep stand? Not any at all. And that's what he's talking about in our text. I am sending you out, and it is going to be dangerous. It's going to seem impossible. It's going to be hard. You are going to be fighting constantly. But why is it worth it? Because the end, the goal, is our salvation. And the salvation that the Lord has prepared for us. So yeah, we might not have a good reason for canoeing up a river or swimming against the current, but we have a very good reason for the much more difficult task of going against the flow of this world and remaining faithful to the Lord. This is really what Jesus is telling us in our text, and he repeats it again and again and again. Our text is, you know, verses 21 to 33, but pretty much every other verse is just a repetition. Different analogies, different metaphors, different ways of saying the same thing. Number one, it's going to be hard, and there are going to be some really terrible things that happen to you along the way. It's going to be dark. Number two, the end, the goal, is worth it. It's your salvation. And number three, even though it might seem impossible, I am with you always to give you strength and to keep you on that path. Listen again to verses 21 and 22. Brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. Jesus said it would be tough. He said it would be difficult. He lays it before us today in no uncertain terms. It's going to be terrible. What's the worst thing that could happen to us on this earth? To be put to death, to be killed. Well, not quite. Jesus adds something a little, probably even worse than that. He says, not only are you going to be put to death, but it's going to be your children and your parents, and your brothers who are doing it to you. It's one thing to be hated. It's one thing to be put to death. But when it's our own family, the people we love the most, who are turning against the Lord and doing these things to us? Yes, it is going to be dark. It is going to be terrible sometimes. We are very lucky. In the whole history of the earth, us and our ancestors who have lived here in America have had it very easy when it comes to persecution for our Christian faith. But it's not always going to be the way. It always hasn't been the way. And even here, we have difficulties ahead of us. Richard Dawkins, you probably remember him. He's the guy who hates religion and writes books about how bad religion is, and especially Christianity. He tries to use this very fact to prove that there is no God, that Jesus was not God. When he talks about it, he gets that little, you know, people get that little smirk on their face when they think they're being so clever. You kind of see that on his face when he talks about this. He says, look at all the bad things people have done in Christ's name. He says, if Christ was really God, why didn't he tell them not to do it? Dawkins obviously does not know the Scriptures as well as he claims to, because Jesus very clearly does tell them not to do it. in an indirect way in our text. In our text, he says it will happen. He doesn't specifically say not to do it, although that's clearly implied. But there are other places in Scripture where he comes right out and he says, they will do these things in my name. Not only says they will do it, he says they will do it in my name. And they do it because they do not know me or the Father. So he very clearly condemns that kind of wickedness and shows that people who do these things are not faithful or not acting in his name, no matter what they claim. But the point is, what can we expect from this life? Sunshine and meadows? No. Persecution, difficulty, bad things. The road is long and dark. But rather than that causing us to lose our faith, we can recognize this is exactly what Jesus said it would be like. And see in it the fulfillment of prophecy and of Jesus' divinity. The road is dark, but the end, the final destination, is the Lord's salvation. And we talked about that word end last week as well. It comes up again in our text today. Telos. And it doesn't just mean the end, but it means the finish. The completion. The Lord has a plan for us. And yes, it leads through darkness and difficulty and persecution, but it leads to something so much better. We can endure because we know the end. Not only do we know it, but we can see the end. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. When I was in Africa and India, there was things that I had to endure. Nothing compared to what we have to endure as Christians in this world, but still difficulties that most Americans probably would not ever want to go through. But for me, it wasn't that big of a deal. My wife might say something different. But for me, it wasn't that big of a deal because I was only there for a week or two, maybe a month at the most. And then I knew I was coming back here, not Mark Zen, but back to the U.S. or back to my other home in Chennai. So, whatever. I could patiently endure it because I knew the end. And we know the end, and we can even see how long it will be, approximately. The way I eat, I probably have another 30, 40 years left. And then it's finished. And we're home. Patience, perseverance. Now our text says, he who endures to the end, to the finish, will be saved. And at first that might sound like, okay, well, we have to swim against the flow. We have to endure to the end. But there are other passages that make it clear that we are not the ones, and it is not our strength. We are the ones enduring, but not from our own strength. Consider even our epistle reading this morning. What did we read in our epistle? But that we are by nature sinful. And that every one of us would return to that sinfulness at this very moment if it were up to us. It's only through the grace of our Lord that we remain faithful, that we can fight the current. It is the Lord who endures and gives us the strength to endure. Even our own text, the Lord makes that clear because he tells us, you are worth more than a sparrow. Sparrows are sold for, the text says, a copper coin. The reference here is to a coin that was about 1/16 of a denarius. A denarius was a normal worker's daily wage. So if you kind of think about that in our terms, you know, minimum wage, 8 hours a day, you know, 8 hours would be about $80. 1/16 of that's around $5. But of course, the American worker makes quite a bit more relatively, not just because of inflation, but what he can buy with that money is quite a bit more than what an Israelite would have. So maybe a dollar. The sparrows that are sold for a dollar, and then they are eaten. Cheap food. And that's Jesus' point. These birds are worthless pretty much by human standpoints. They're super cheap, and yet not one of them falls to the ground without the Lord allowing it. And you are worth more than even many sparrows. The point is, the Lord has a plan. The point is, the Lord has restrictions. Yes, He allows difficulty. Yes, He allows persecution. Yes, He allows evil, but only to a point. This far and no further. And He gives us the strength to endure. He is with us, watching over us. When I was a little kid, I remember once that my dad, he would go biking every morning. Early in the morning, he would go for a bike ride. And one morning, you know, I was at that age when you want to do everything your dad does. And that doesn't last very long. Then you realize it's not so much fun to help with the dishes and do the garden work. But I was still at that right age where I wanted to do everything my dad does. So I wanted to go out biking with him. And he told me, well, if you can come, but, you know, you have to keep up. Because I'm doing this for exercise. I need to keep going. Oh, yeah. I'll keep up with you, Dad. No, I did not. And of course, despite what he said, my dad constantly turned back. But I remember him telling me also, stay right behind me. Right? And he's the one going against the wind, cutting it for me. Stay right behind him. You have a much easier time. It's kind of the picture that Jesus puts before us here. Yes, we're fighting upriver, we're fighting against the flow, but Jesus is in front of us, pulling us along. So we can do it, even this impassable task. We can endure unto the end. It is going to be tough and dark and dangerous. The goal is worth it. The end is the Lord's salvation. And He is with us every step of the way. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.